Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I do want to point out, and if you want to challenge it or appeal it, you have every right to, but during our last segment where Tommy was making the case for a very unique Met idea, he referred to King Judge as simply Aaron Judge. I have been notified. So if you want to challenge that, we could take a look off air. Whoa. But as of right now, we are adding a dollar into the pot because, of course, the rules around here on Evan and Tiki until the summer is over is that with Aaron Judge being king of New York City, just kind of saved myself, and that being official, we all need to refer to him as king, and Tommy neglected to do that during our last segment, so you now owe a dollar in the King Judge pot.
No problem. Sean, I need to borrow a dollar. Thanks.
Well, it's only June 25th. That number will add up. I can promise you.
Do we get a certain number of challenges, like the NFL and NBA, when it comes to this?
Well, you could challenge it, but I'm going to listen to it, and you didn't say King Judge, okay. And it's just going to be approved. That's it.
I only say that to say you could always challenge, just in case the person's wrong.
You get three challenges for the rest of the summer. So if you'd like to use a challenge now.
Three challenges?
Yeah, three. We can't have a million.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, or being fair.
What happens if you're right?
Then the dollar gets taken away, and you keep the challenge.
Perfect.
Thank you very much. Time for Sean Cinco de Fivo.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on the Fan.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere. I came up with the Cinco list not knowing that prior to Cinco, we were going to do a whole segment on how the Mets lineup could change from Tommy, but I'm going to give you the top five gimmicks that could save the Mets season.
Is that not up there?
Well, it might have to become number one, but I'm going to give you prior to thinking of it.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number five.
I can't believe I'm going to utter these words because I have to speak to a lot of people tonight, but lunch tray giveaway night.
I told you!
Maybe Evan is right. Coming up with a new giveaway that fans could eat clean could lead to clean play, and maybe these lunch trays become new rally towels in October where people just swing in the trays up in the air.
Could you imagine? Mm-mm. And you know what's great about the tray? On a hot, hot night like tonight at Citi Field, if you swing the tray towards your face, it's like a fan.
Yeah. And you can also see people just rolling thousands of blunts.
Which could be great. Evan has also had My Mets Bible. Now we can have My Mets Table. Those two things. Here we go.
Number four.
This is simple. Bring back Grimace. And if they do and they take off, how do you then deny the magic that was 2024? Then it held some weight.
Where is Grimace right now?
McDonald's. Eating McDonald's, a number two cheeseburger.
Didn't something happen with, it was his birthday or something like
that.
Well, so the Mets honored Grimace, I think, on the anniversary of the Grimace show up last year. Yeah. And that happened to be the day before the Mets losing streak started. So there's like a full circle moment with Grimace. If I'm not mistaken, it was the Thursday afternoon game where Kodai Senga got hurt. The Mets held on, and then the losing streak began the following night.
So it's not our fault. It's Grimace's fault.
Is that what you're saying?
It's the reverse jinx.
It's the reverse Grimace jinx?
Yes.
Well, then they got to bring him back.
Yeah, or like Grimace is like milk. It goes bad after a certain... You got to buy new milk. Buy a new Grimace.
Or go to another McDonald's character. Hamburglar time.
Hey, good work. Here we go.
Number three.
The number three gimmick that could save the Mets season, a public press conference from Juan Soto where he announces he's giving up his suite to save the Mets karma.
Well, what does that do other than make you laugh?
Not going to do anything.
A little, it's like a sacrifice. You know, you sacrifice something to get back something.
Like Jobu?
Yes.
Sacrificing the chicken?
Give up the suite.
Yeah, you guys are too much. You can't get over the fact that he left, and so this is your continuous shot at him.
That's not a shot. All right, here we go.
Oh, no, it's not.
Number two.
We got to give some Kenny and South Park treatment to Positive Tommy. Positive Tommy does. That's the sacrifice we had. We heard him start to be negative there. At some point, enough's enough.
Well, it goes back to 2024. 2024 was a very unique year, very special year, and had a lot of gimmicks. A lot of different gimmicks. You had my stupid beard gimmick, which has been dead for a year. You had Grimace. You had Haktua. You had OMG. And you had Positive Tommy. All those things went away except for Positive Tommy. He's the one thing that's held on. So there may need to be a Chris Jericho reinvention. Maybe you become Idea Guy, because the lineup idea is a hit with a lot of people. So maybe you retire Positive Tommy and you're just Idea Tommy. And Tommy's got weird, crazy ideas every other day to save the Mets.
All right, and last but not least.
Number one.
This applies if the Mets continue to lose tonight. Tomorrow, I think an Evan and Tiki seance from Citi Field could be the gimmick we need. Lighting the candles, much like I did for the Yankees in Game 4.
A humana?
They won that game.
Yeah.
Maybe a Mets Evan and Tiki seance. Maybe we are the gimmick, folks. We are going to Citi Field to do a show.
If the Mets lose tonight, and this is, you know, you look at the first two games of this series, the Mets had pitching matchups that greatly favored the Atlanta Braves. Now, that's not the reason they lost, because they did have a 3-0 lead with their bullpen blowing it last night. And again, they were in position to come back against Atlanta, down 3-2 late against their bullpen the night earlier. So I'm not using that as an excuse, but the reality is the Mets had a major disadvantage when it came to the pitching matchups over the first two games.
Yeah.
They now have advantages tonight and tomorrow.
I mean,
so if they don't win tonight, I'm with you. I'll seance the crap out of tomorrow.
Technically, you're right, but the Braves are only good against the Mets. Don't forget, 2 weeks ago, they were 14 and a half or 15 games out.
But, Teague, in fairness,
Now they're 9.5 games out.
I understand. They're 5-0 against the Mets.
Against everybody else.
But who are the five starting pitchers who started for the Braves in these five games? It's Chris Sale, Spencer Schwellenbach twice, Spencer Strider twice.
Right.
Like, they've used their best starting pitchers against the Mets. And tonight, they're starting a 20-year-old who started one major league game. This is the first time the Mets have a distinct advantage.
I hear you, but prior to the Mets-Braves series, 2 weeks, the first one, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, the Braves were terrible.
Not when Spencer Schwellenbach pitches.
But they were terrible.
Not when Chris Sale pitches.
As a team. And now they beat the Mets, and now they're back in it.
No, I understand that. And
no, what I'm saying is it doesn't matter who's on the mound.
No, that part, I agree with everything you said.
It doesn't matter.
Of course it matters.
No, it doesn't.
It doesn't
they're
matter.
They're finding ways to win games.
Well, they
should not have won yesterday.
I agree with you, and the Mets had a 3-0 lead. My point is, and you can't deny it, the Braves have had the starting pitching edge, it feels like, in every game they've played over the five games.
What I'm saying is that starting pitching edge is not the X factor.
It hasn't been the difference in every single game, though it has been in some of them. Like the Chris Sale game it was.
Yeah.
They had no shot.
Right.
But tonight, for the first time in this season series against Atlanta, the Mets have an edge. And all I'm saying about that is they better win. Like, they better freaking win tonight. Of all the games they've played, the Mets are hitting the halfway point of the season tonight. Congratulations. It's game 81. This is the most important game they've played all year. And honestly, I don't even think it's that close, considering they've lost a 10 out of 11, considering they're facing a 20-year-old who's made one major league start, considering they're 0-5 against Atlanta. Like, you factor that all in, like, there has been no game the Mets have played that's as important as the game they're playing tonight. So I'm not talking about the Braves starters as an excuse by any stretch. I'm just saying it's why tonight is so important, which is why if they somehow lose and now they're 0-6 against Atlanta, he's right. We should have a seance tomorrow. Should do anything we can to get this team turned around.
Get your hominas ready.
Hum, diddy, hum, diddy, hum.
Does that mean you think the Mets are losing tonight? That's what
no,
it sounds like.
No. They're beating up a 20-year-old.
They're going to beat up a 20-year-old?
Yeah.
This feels like Mets beat them up. But Clay Holmes gets beat up worse.
And that could happen. Look, the way this run has gone and the way this season has gone against Atlanta, it is on the table where, yeah, they finally get to this Atlanta Brave rotation, which they sort of did last night. They got three runs against Spencer Strider, and they find a new way to lose. Because over the stretch of 11 games, sometimes it's the starters, mostly it is. Sometimes it's the bullpen, which we've seen numerous times. And just about every day, it's the offense. So, yes, it would be fitting for the Mets to find a new creative way to lose. But if they lose tonight, I'll tell you right now.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I've had a tough time holding off the panic. I think it may be full panic.
You're throwing up the red flag.
It would be tough not to have the red flag. Like, the only thing that holds you off about it is that the Mets pocketed so many wins earlier this season that math-wise, standings-wise, they're still in a really good spot.
Of course.
And that's great. And that's a credit to, hey, Luke, when you play 620 baseball for the first 2 months of the season, you could afford a bad streak. But in terms of the way they're playing and how extended the losing would be, it would be very concerning if they lost tonight. So it's the most important game they played all year.
So
is that a fair statement?
If you're calling it that, fair statement, we need the declaration. Is tonight a must win or a can't lose?
Oh, Jesus. Must win crap.
Is it a must win
or
a can't lose?
Don't call a game in June a must win game.
So it's a can't lose.
I phrase it the way I phrased it. It's the most important game they have played so far.
So they can't lose it.
It's the most important game they've played thus far.
I'm asking you to pick one.
Why do I have to pick one?
Pick a must-win or can't lose. You called it the most important. You got to at least label it one of those.
Just because
if it's most important, it's got to have some, like the outcome's got to matter.
Yeah, I just said it's the most important game they've played all season.
So can't lose?
What does that mean, can't lose? If they lose, it's over? The season's done?
No, it doesn't mean that. Uh-huh. They can't lose it or they're in deep peril. They must win it to avoid deep
I think
peril.
It's must-win.
It's not must-win.
I think it's must-win.
I think it's can't lose.
Yeah, I this reminds me of, do you guys remember the Colbert Report?
Yes.
It was a very funny show. Stephen Colbert, before he became a late night guy, did a mocking Bill O'Reilly show. Because it was basically like mocking the O'Reilly factor. And I'll never forget, he put up a poll. And this is kind of like what you're doing. And the poll was, President George W. Bush, great president or greatest president? And it was funny. Like, it was, see, you got to pick one. Sorry, you got two choices. And that's kind of what you're doing to me right now.
Yeah, so just pick one. What are you making it so difficult for? Is it a must-win or a can't-lose tonight?
Oh, I said great president. I can't say greatest. I mean, that's okay. Lincoln.
So pick one of these. Is it a must-win or a can't-lose?
Can't-lose.
We got it.
Let's go to Mike in Westchester. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. It's been some time since we last chatted, but a few months ago, you guys gave me some advice on not getting too drunk at my wedding.
Yep.
And Evan, I think you alluded to using the torpedo bat later on that night. I don't know if you remember that. I hope the Yankees and Mets start using the torpedo bat pretty soon.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
But all that to say, I guess the torpedo bat was pretty successful for me because I'm having a kid. So
nice!
Anyway, you guys
give
me on that, that'd be really helpful. And then one little last bit, Tiki, buy, sell this OBJ rumor.
Whew. I'm going to say sell.
The OBJ rumor.
Right. And by the way, if those who haven't noticed, OBJ has been talking extensively. I think he did this at Fanatics Fest as well.
Yeah.
About wanting to come back to the Giants because he never wanted to leave the Giants. And he just posted a photo with his kid sitting outside of Giants Stadium.
Yeah, he literally went to MetLife Stadium with his kid to pose a picture talking about, hey, son, I did a lot of great stuff in that building. Uh-huh. Like, this is, I got to tell you, this is really desperate and sad. What's going on right now?
What is he, 32-ish? Whatever. He's early 30s.
And he's an old 32-ish because he hasn't been healthy.
He's been hurt a lot, and he's basically been on four teams over the last five seasons, I believe. So he's bounced around a ton. I'm going to say sell. I just don't think it fits with the direction that the Giants are in right now.
The whole thing is very sad and a revisionist history, in my opinion, on Odell Beckham Jr. Oh, I never wanted to leave. I mean, cut the crap. You never wanted to leave. You sat there on ESPN crapping over Eli Manning. So don't change history now. And then number two, like, I think it's cool that he wants to play in the NFL, and I have no issue with him still wanting to do that. But the Instagram posts, the pictures, it's sad and desperate. That's just the way it looks right now.
I think any time you sit down on concrete and stare at MetLife Stadium as if it's beautiful is sad and desperate.
Yeah, it is. And also, like, there are guys in Giant history who, when they leave, you're like, man, we got to right that wrong. Like, man, it never felt right that that guy was on another team. Mm. Luckily, I don't say that about you. You're a career Giant. And there's a lot of guys we could also say that about. They're career Giants. Do you guys, and tell me if I'm wrong, I'm being an IBO here, IFO here, is Odell Beckham Jr. some kind of legendary Giant that you need to right the wrong with?
It's not that it's that. He's just a lot of a certain generation's favorite player. Because he was so dominant.
Mm-hmm.
And kids that were, I don't know, say 6 to 12, when he was in his prime with the New York Giants, they started to love football because of Odell Beckham Jr. and all the things that he did, whether it was the one-handed catches or just some of the antics. Like, he made it interesting and compelling, not always in a good way, but he was just he was a great figure. Like, a great character.
He was, but
in Giants history.
It was so brief. Like, it was really 2 years of being elite. And the rest of it was injury ridden and
and antic filled.
Yeah. Exactly.
So that's what people will care about.
Yeah. So I just don't get the appeal.
He's just memorable
to
a lot of people.
By the way, we ask Sal Licata every day if the NL East is over. It's been challenging the last couple of days. And remember, that question could apply to it being over negatively as well. So again, I approached Sal Licata after his midday show and asked him the question that we do every day. Hey, Sal Licata, is the NL East over? And at least oversell?
I'm serious. When are we going to end this conference? Don't you think we're nearing an end here?
So you're saying it's over?
Bring back Grimace.
The NL East is not over.
No. So here's what we learned. BT wants to bring back Grimace. And we're nearing an end? What does that mean? Is he about to give up?
He can't. He's got to at least wait for the Braves-Philly series to be over before you can make any determination about the NL East.
Sounds like he's teetering. It sounds like we may lose him by the end of the week. He may say, it is over, and we're dead. Well,
no biggie.
2 weeks ago, he was teetering the other way.
I know.
Maybe that's the gimmick. Sal Licata's got to throw out a first pitch at a Met game to end this. Like,
is that what it is? Listen, whatever works, man. Whatever gets it done. Ozzy and Woodridge. What's up, Oz?
Ozzy.
What's up, fellas? Yo. How you doing?
All good.
Good. What's
one
up?
One more day of heat, and then we get a little bit of relief the next couple of days.
Yep.
Thank goodness. As I noticed, you stopped wearing your wristwatch the last couple of days.
Yeah. My wristwatch.
Is it because...
Oh, you have a joke? Yeah. I was going to give you the real answer,
course,
but funny. Give me a shtick. Tell me why I stopped wearing my wristwatch. Go ahead, Oz.
Because it showed that you had girly wrists to match your baby hands. Because the thing was halfway up your pipe cleaner forearm. Look at Tiki's watch. Fits on a man's wrist, nice and snug, where it's supposed to be.
Has anyone ever confused me with being a real man, though? Has anyone said, boy, that Evan, he's so manly? Honestly, my wife got me this watch that counts your steps, which I always thought was really cool, especially because we're going to go to Europe soon, and we're curious how many steps we're all going to walk. And also to start walking more so that we're ready for all the walking we're going to do. I like the watch. I think it's really cool. The reason I stopped wearing it is I keep forgetting to put it on when I'm charging it at night. It's a simple, I'm an idiot thing.
What kind of watch is it? Is it an Apple Watch?
Honestly, I don't even know. My wife bought it for me. I really know nothing. By the way, I got to tell you a story. The Braves are really destroying the Roberts household. Destroying it. So you know how we've talked in the past how sometimes our kids, I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old. Mm-hmm. Tiki, you've got, give me the ages again because you got a lot.
Almost 23, 21, 14, 15-year-old twins now. Mm-hmm. 11 and almost 9.
More so with the 11 and 9, me with the 8 and 4, Sean with the 5 and 3.
Loogie with the nothing.
With the nothings for now. The young kids will at some point get crazy about the weirdest things. And I always find that fascinating. Like, hey, what's the weirdest thing your kid just lost it on? I had the incident last night, and you're going to love this.
Okay.
You're going to love this. So my oldest son, and he has apologized. So for anyone who's going to judge Jet, he realized the errors of his ways. But Jet was playing MLB The Show, and he's really into it. And he's playing the Braves, coincidentally. Okay. And in MLB The Show, they give you tips. So the manager tipped that he should intentionally walk Austin Riley with Matt Olson on deck. So Jet's like, Dad, how do you do an intentional walk? How do you do an intentional walk? I was like, oh, let me check it out. You want me to intentionally walk him? He's like, yeah, the manager says so. I was like, okay. I didn't argue with him. I didn't say, hey, I wouldn't do that. He wants to intentionally walk him. Mets are up 4-1. I guess he figured, let me not deal with this. I apologize. It's 1-1. So he intentionally walks Austin Riley. I leave the room. I'm like, I got it done. All of a sudden, I hear crying. I hear screaming. I come back in, and he's like, it's your fault! It's your fault! And I'm like, what happened?
Who is he yelling at?
Matt Olson hit a grand slam. And I'm like... What do you mean it's my fault? He's like, why did we intentionally walk him? Why did you do that, Dad? I said, you asked me to. I wasn't even watching. You're playing the game. He's like, you want me to lose. You want the real Mets and the ranked Mets to lose. Why? And he lost his mind on me. And I had to walk away. I go to my wife. I was like, I don't know how to handle this.
All right.
Like, what am I? I want to scream back at him. You made the pitch.
Right.
It's your fault.
Well, this is a game. This is a video game.
Yes. So eventually, you know, he apologized. I apologized because I was like, all right, next time I will advise you that we shouldn't walk Austin Riley in front of Matt Olson.
Just picture the poor 8-year-old going, you idiot, you threw the pitch. All right. Well, why did you walk Austin Riley?
Because the manager in MLB The Show, like there's an automatic, hey, we're going to give you advice button, told him to do it.
Oh, he... You didn't tell him.
I didn't tell him to do it.
He pops up on the screen.
Oh, he's screaming at the...
No, he was screaming at me, and that's what was so irrational about it. I was like, I didn't tell you to walk
him. I thought you told him to, like, oh, yeah, that's good advice.
But
do what the screen says.
I think that's why Jet's upset with him, because you should have observed and said, do you really want to load the bases for Matt Olson?
And I admit it was brief.
Matt Olson's having a down season. IRL.
I very briefly said to him, are you sure you want to walk him? Mm. And his answer was, yeah, virtual Mendy's telling me to do it.
Oh, then you did your job.
I didn't say, this is a terrible idea, I'm going to overrule you. But I'll tell you, this happened as the Mets were blowing the lead. And I'm like, the Braves are killing my family. Mm. Buddy. The Braves are killing me. They're making Jet turn on me like, we hate the Braves. So yeah. That is now the leader in the clubhouse for the weirdest meltdown any of my kids have ever had.
Really quickly, do you care? The Yankees are going to play with two men down tonight.
Of course.
Okay.
I assume the bullpen. I assume Mark Leiter is not available.
Well, then they might be playing three men down. Jonathan Loaisiga is headed back to the team hotel with an illness. Not something the team believes will require an IL stint. That's number one. Number two, congratulations, J.C. Ascara's wife has gone into labor. So he is leaving the team, but not enough time to get somebody to Cincinnati.
But luckily they do have a backup catcher in Ben Rice.
Okay, but Ben Rice is starting tonight at first base, not Paul Goldschmidt. So technically both catchers are already in the starting line.
It shouldn't be an issue.
Because you could switch down.
As long as he's not DHing, it's not an issue. Because if he was DHing and you had to move him to catcher, you'd lose the DH spot. So in this case, it actually works.
I only say that to say you never know. Baseball's a funny game. Stretching at first base, he gets hurt. You know, you do have more risk by playing him tonight.
No, I get you. So the Yankees are down two men, and they're probably down more because of their bullpen usage from last night. But congratulations to J.C. Ascara.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully everything's all right with Loaisiga. That was weird last night. When he walked off the mound, I think the biggest fear was that it was going to be some kind of injury.
Right.
It's an illness. Hopefully he's okay.
He did it himself.
Say it again?
He pulled himself.
Yeah. He's the one who signaled, hey, something's wrong. The Yankees have a good problem. And that good problem is they have a lot of players. And because they have a lot of players, someone has to sit. And today, the guy who's sitting yet again, because he's been sitting a lot lately, is Paul Goldschmidt. And maybe he's sitting because in the two games in Cincinnati, he's 0 for 10 with three strikeouts. He has made some good contact. Like, there have been some balls that have been hit hard. But Goldie is in a little bit of a slump. I think he's 0 for his last 14 or 15. But he's out of the lineup again. And I don't love it. Because even though he is slumping, I think Paul Goldschmidt will get hot again. I think Paul Goldschmidt has been one of the Yankees' best hitters. But this is one of those good problems that they have, Teak, where someone's got to sit. So tonight against Brady Singer, the righty, it's Grisham, King Judge, Ben Rice, Giancarlo, Jazz Chisholm, Jason Dominguez, Anthony Volpe, Austin Wells, and DJ LeMahieu. And no Paul Goldschmidt.
You know Bellinger either, who, by the way, is 2 for 4 with two home runs off Singer.
And no Cody Bell. It's a good call. No Cody Bellinger either. I wonder why.
Especially if you're playing the numbers. He's got the numbers off Singer.
Yeah, I mean, that's a small sample size, but still, yeah, sure, why not? You know, Trent Grisham could be the guy you sit again. So, yeah, it's a good thing because you're always sitting somebody usually that you want to have play.
Yeah.
But it's tough decisions for Aaron Boone. I just wouldn't bury Goldie just because he's slumping a little bit.
You have two prime candidates, though, Evan, to revisit your plan from 2 days ago.
What's my plan from 2 days ago?
Pinch hitting for Volpe late in the game. We have both Goldie and Bellinger off the bench.
Yeah, you're always in that spot, though. Like, the Yankees, here's the beautiful thing about this situation that they're in. Yeah, you got to make tough decisions on who's not going to play, but what you also have is a really good bench. And guys like Anthony Volpe could be pinch hit for. Maybe even DJ LeMahieu in the right spot. Like, I think it depends the situation. It depends the pitcher. It depends which particular bat you have off the bench. But yes, late in the game, two on, two out, righty, lefty, doesn't matter. I want Paul Goldschmidt up there. Actually, against the lefty, I definitely want Paul Goldschmidt up there, considering he kills lefties. And so, yes, Anthony Volpe continues to be a prime candidate to be pinch hit for. And I made you the prediction. It's going to happen soon. He hasn't been pinch hit for yet this season, but I do think that's going to change very soon. But big nights for both teams. Mets trying to win a game against Atlanta. Yankees trying to avoid getting swept by the Cincinnati Reds. 888-808-1019. Larry's in Westchester. What's up, Larry? Hello, Larry.
Hello.
Larry, what's up?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
Hi. I just want to bring back about what Tommy was saying about the lineup change for the Mets.
Yes.
I love Tommy, but I think that's asinine. I said, for two reasons. First of all, you're saying there's only four good hitters, five bad hitters. So you're going to have one good hitter get up, get a hit, two outs in between, and then another guy get a hit, and then the guy following it will get it out. If you look at box scores for every day going from Little League to Major League Baseball, a team almost all the time scores more runs in one inning than the other team scores the whole game. You have to cluster your hitters. You can't separate them. Why would you give up two outs unless you're hoping for a solo homer in between? Then why put two guys in between?
How do you answer that, Tommy?
Well, they have clustered their hitters, and they're not scoring any runs.
Yeah.
And the issue they're running into is when they get to the bottom of the order, really half the bottom of the order, after they get past four, they have an inability to get guys on base and get them in. In my plan, which is to bat Alonso first, Lindor seventh, Soto fourth, and Nimmo ninth, is that you never run into that because you have one of your best four hitters up in every single spot. And as far as, well, let's say Alonso gets on and Mauricio's up next, well, at least he has a guy on base. Maybe he sees a better pitch to hit and he's not pressing as much, a little more relaxed.
But don't you think he's going to get the best pitches to hit with Soto likely being on base ahead of him and having a decent hitter protecting him?
Yeah, the protection part is one way to look at it. I'm just looking at it more that...
We found the crack.
Not necessarily crack. It's just I want to give guys other opportunities to hit in other parts of the order, too.
You know what I don't like? Because Tiki said this. The idea of, well, what's your plan? I mean, you know, all you're doing is keeping the same thing and hoping guys to get better. Here's the analogy I would use on why changing things up for the sake of changing things up is a flawed idea. Mm-hmm. Let's use Tommy as an example again since it was his idea. There was a time in his life where he was dating. He was dating.
Yeah.
He was going out there. He was on the scene.
Yeah.
And let's say...
Out there gunning.
He was out there gunning. And let's just say, because this would never have happened to Tommy, he's in a slump. He keeps going on these dates, and girls are like, not interested. Okay? And Tommy's like, all right, I got to try something different.
I'm so interested to see how you make this analogy work.
So Tommy says, well, this isn't working. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to dress worse. I'm going to wear bicycle shorts. I'm not going to comb my hair. I'm not going to do deodorant. I'm going to be an ugly pig thinking, hey, the first part hasn't worked. So let me just try this because you never know. That's what you guys are trying to do with the Met lineup. You're like, let's make it worse. Let's make it smell. And the point is, well, the first thing didn't work. So if that didn't work, let me try the stinky method. It's basically the same idea.
So you want me to be you, basically, in the dating life.
I did not
I mean,
do
you
that.
Described yourself, though. The no D.O., the shorts.
Nice twist.
Let me tell you something. When I was dating, I dressed as nicely as I could.
No, I understand.
Bicycle shorts I saved for work.
That's fair. But you would agree, though, that going to a zone here and spreading out your best four hitters is the greatest idea in the history of ideas. You're not there yet. And I figured this.
You think I'll get there eventually?
You're like Greg the Hammer Valentine. You need 15 minutes to warm up. You need time to warm up to the idea. I think tonight on your Rico, you will start to go, man, maybe Lugie was on to something. Especially if the bottom of the order continues to struggle. If they don't, then we don't have an issue.
He does have something going for him that he maybe, he's not going to be right about, but I'll give him a shot. If they can't hit Didier Fuentes, and I'm sitting there in the seventh inning, and a couple of things, I don't have Ace Bailey.
You're going to start screaming.
Change the lineup. And Didier Fuentes has pitched six scoreless innings. There is a chance that I'm going to be like, screw it. Go with the Lugie plan. Let's go to Chris on Long Island. Hey.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Chris?
Hey, how you guys? I shouldn't ask that because you guys don't like that.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Before I make my point, I just want to see what you guys think about this. I know last week you were talking about road trips to see different parks. So in a couple of weeks, actually in August, I am planning a trip to see Pittsburgh, and I'm also going to Cleveland. So I was thinking, why not wear a Lindor jersey to Cleveland?
A Mets Lindor jersey to Cleveland.
Yes, definitely. The true National MVP of 2024.
Yeah, that's interesting. Do we approve of that? Do we approve of a non-Met game? Because the Mets play the Guardians actually at Citi Field. They don't go to Cleveland, so I know that off the
top
of my
head. But he's a Met fan.
But he's a Met fan. He's going on a stadium tour. We have talked about how you shouldn't wear.
I think that's okay.
You think that's okay?
Yeah. Because it's paying homage to his original, landing spot.
Here's the key.
But he also is not trying to be a Guardians fan, right? He's just,
right.
He's just, I'm a Met fan. I'm on a tour.
I've got an answer to this. Mm-hmm. I've got an answer for him, and then obviously we can answer this. Specifically, me and Tommy as Met fans can answer this. If we go, we're going to the game tomorrow. Perfect example. We're at the game tomorrow. I have an extra ticket. I'm like, you know what, Tommy, sit with me. Sit with the family. And all of a sudden, we see a guy wearing a DeGrom Rangers jersey. What do we do? Hmm. Oh, we pissed? Like, oh, that's cool?
No, I think that's cool.
No, oh, that's what you think?
I think it is cool.
Do you think that's cool, Tommy?
They're not playing the Rangers.
I understand, but it's also...
This guy is paying homage to Jacob DeGrom.
Right, but he's wearing his jersey as a Ranger, much like our last caller would be wearing a Lindor jersey
but
as a Met.
Why would he be wearing it unless he's a Jacob DeGrom and or Ranger fan?
I get you, but DeGrom's not a Met anymore.
Well, now, if he's a Met fan, it's stupid because he should just wear his Met DeGrom.
No. It's a Texas Ranger fan, much like our last caller is a Met fan wearing a Lindor jersey. I'm just trying to figure out what the natives in Cleveland would think. So I'm using ourselves as an example. Like, what would we think? And I haven't seen this yet, by the way. Like, I've been to a lot of Met games. I've seen a lot of Met DeGrom jerseys. Those have certainly not gone out of stock. But I haven't seen a Texas Ranger DeGrom jersey, and I honestly don't know how I'd react. I think I'd be sad.
I think in the case of Lindor...
But not mad.
What?
Not mad.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I'd be sad.
Sad, but not mad.
Mad at who?
Whatever.
I think I could be mad. I think I'd start getting mad at Steve, saying, oh, why don't we offer more? Why don't we bring him back? We could use him. So we could turn into madness. I don't know.
He didn't want to be here.
No, well, the Mets didn't make a big enough offer. Don't go down this argument again. The Mets didn't make a competitive offer. So maybe he didn't want to be here. You may be right.
They didn't make a competitive offer because he didn't want to be here.
That's not true. They didn't make a competitive offer because they didn't want to give a 4 or 5 year contract to a guy who's an injury risk, which early on in the contract they turned out to be right about. That's not the argument.
Masterclass getting rid of a legend.
Oh, no, it was because most Met fans right. ate out of their hands saying, oh, it's great. You know, it's great. How would you feel if you saw the DeGrom Ranger jersey?
Well, if you're going to compare it to the Lindor situation in Cleveland.
I'm not comparing it. I'm asking you, what would your emotion be if you saw a guy walk down in our section wearing a Ranger DeGrom jersey?
I don't think it's a big deal, but Jake left in free agency. Lindor was a trade. I think when it's a trade, you can't be mad at the player.
Hold on. I'm just asking you a question. How would you feel when that guy walks
independent
down?
Independent of Lindor.
Yeah, forget Lindor.
You asked me about Lindor first.
No, I asked you, what would you think if you saw a guy in a DeGrom Ranger jersey?
For the time being, forget Lindor.
We got there because of Lindor, absolutely. Right. But right now, what I'm trying to do, and I know it's difficult because we haven't done it yet, is imagine you're at Citi Field. Sit with me. You're imagining it, right?
No, okay? I wouldn't care. I would be like indifferent to
no
it.
No emotion.
No.
Interesting.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that's right.
If he went to the Braves and he wore a Brave jersey, different. I think it's the team. It's Texas.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I think that's a big part.
Which is why the Mets Lindor jersey and Guardians, whatever the stadium is called, I think it's benign. It's simple.
So there would be a benign reaction in Cleveland.
Absolutely.
You think most Mets fans would agree with you that if they saw the DeGrom Rangers jersey, would just be like, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, they'd just be like, yeah, whatever. They'd probably take a picture with him. I'm not even joking. Or certainly a picture from the back. You know what I mean?
Right. From behind, they take a picture?
No, meaning of the guys.
This guy's got a Ranger jersey.
Exactly. Right. Not with the person, but just a picture of them.
Yeah, I think, and I'm only one person. I'm probably unique on this, so I certainly don't speak for Mets fans. I think if I saw it, I'd be like, kind of sad. That'd be my emotion. You're right. I wouldn't be mad. I'd be sad. So I guess based on that, that's basically what would happen in Cleveland if you wore a Lindor Met jersey. There'd be some sadness. And there are some similarities. Like, the Mets decided to move on from DeGrom. Mm-hmm. The Guardians decided to move on from Lindor. And think about this. The return Cleveland got for Lindor stunk. They got Andrés Giménez, who's gone. Mm-hmm. Ahmed Rosario, who's gone. And the Mets' return on DeGrom was to replace him by signing Justin Verlander. So... all the returns were awful.
Right.
Let's go to Paul in Middletown. Hey, Paul. What's up, Paul?
Yeah.
Yo.
Oh, I'm sorry, guys.
Hey, what's up? Go ahead. What's up?
I'm sorry. I'm working. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Good for you. Working hard, calling a sports talk radio station. That's called double fisting. I appreciate that. What's on your mind?
Yeah, so I'm actually in Brooklyn in Fort Hamilton picking up recruits. So, yeah, I'll be real quick. I just want to thank Tiki. Tiki, thank you very much for being on the Giants.
Thank you, man.
Your favorite team. I wish you were there one more year to get the ring.
It's all good. Timing's a bitch.
It's all good. All right, so real quick, I wanted to ask you guys about the lineup as well. So I guess I could ask Evan this question about the lineup. As far as over the last, let's just say, losing streak, for lack of a better word.
Yes.
The best hitter in the lineup in this losing streak. in my opinion, and you can, I guess, differ, is I think I have to say Nimmo.
Yeah, I think overall, Nimmo and Soto have probably been statistically their two best hitters during this stretch. Yeah.
So what about moving Nimmo somewhere in the lineup?
Do we to keep where? Where he is? I mean, they're already batting him.
I don't know, maybe like five, six. I don't know.
He's second today, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's been batting second. I think
Evan actually brought that idea up, because if you want some more accomplished hitters down in the lineup, leave Soto, Lindor, Alonso at the top where they are, but move like McNeil and Nimmo down to the bottom so that you're creating RBI opportunities for Lindor or for Soto or for Pete Alonso.
It's a double
as they come back around.
It's a double-edged sword. If you're too good of a hitter, and Nimmo has been over the last few weeks, and keep this in mind about Nimmo, Brandon Nimmo, because the Mets are at the halfway point of the season, so it's very easy to double everyone's stats and say that's their pace. Brandon Nimmo's on pace to go 30-85 this season. I know at times he's been frustrating. He's on pace to have a 30 home run, 80 RBI season, which is not bad. The double-edged sword is, if someone's too good of a hitter, I need them batting towards the top of the order.
Right.
But I also want to have some guys at the bottom who are like good enough to get on base to put traffic out there. So I guess what I'm saying is the guys who fit, like moving to the bottom of the order, is more of a Jeff McNeil kind of guy than it is a Brandon Nimmo, because McNeil's not that good, but he's better than Hayden Senger. Like Hayden Senger, who's the backup catcher right now, or Luis Torrens, because he hasn't hit either, hitting them at the bottom of the order, it's like a dead spot.
Yeah, but where are you putting them?
Probably in that 6-7 range.
Yeah.
Like I almost would
but
look
then,
at.
Then you have, if you're fortunate enough, say you, whatever, first inning is what it is, happens like last night with the Yankees, you go 1-2-3, but then you get a couple guys on, and now you got Hayden Senger hitting.
You're right. That's the negative, because you can't hide bad hitters. We can try, like Tommy's tried, like I'm even trying. The reality is spots are going to find your lousy hitters.
Yeah.
So how do you maximize it? Zach's in Massapequa. Hey, Zach.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I'm calling in just to report on my findings from last night. I was at the game. I wanted to lead in prayer yesterday. Frankie Montas did his job.
Yeah.
What I found from last night, Mendoza has not had a good year. From the decisions he's made, I find myself saying almost every other game, dang, I would not have done that.
What bothered you last night specifically?
Montas getting pulled after 80 pitches. And, okay, there's a pitch count, whatever, I get it. He's thrown basically a half of a regular season in the minors to get WAR. I don't understand why a guy like him is on a pitch count, especially when the bullpen's depleted. So now you take him out after five innings, you insert three bullpen pitchers into the sixth inning. It's just a lot of times he just leaves me scratching my head, whether it's, you know, the lineup, whether it's when to take pitchers out, who you're putting in. It's just been so frustrating watching Carlos Mendoza do what he does.
And you know what's a part of that?
To be honest.
You know what's a part of that? When you're not winning and you're not executing and you're not getting clutch hitting and you're failing and finding ways to lose, every decision the manager makes now looks stupid.
Right.
Just like last year, the opposite happened in the second half of the year. I actually disagree with what you're saying, because if Montas starts the sixth inning and he's already thrown 80 pitches and puts a guy or two on base, which probably happens, and now he's up to 95 pitches and you take him out, you're now asking your overtaxed bullpen to get out of a jam as opposed to giving them a clean inning. Like, Oscar Brazoban was terrible. I think he was going to be terrible whether he came in with guys on base or not. And the odds were he was coming in with guys on base. So I thought you had a better chance to get him through that inning and your bullpen through some innings by giving them clean innings as opposed to pushing a guy who's just been activated from the IL. So I respectfully disagree with it. I don't think Mendy screwed that up last night. I think what screwed it up is the bullpen. What screwed it up is that their starting pitchers haven't given them length all year, so their bullpen is overworked. And what also screwed it up is the Mets were allowed to score more than three runs.
Right.
They scored three runs against Spencer Strider in that one inning, and what did they do until the Fugazi rally of the ninth inning? They did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when you're losing, especially close games, it's easy to point at every decision the manager makes and says, he screwed up. Mendy was overrated last year because everything he did worked. Oh, he's a genius. He was overrated. And now he's getting too much blame,
yeah,
which is what happens in New York baseball when guys and teams struggle. We blame the manager, Aaron Boone's an idiot. That's why the Yankees can't win an extra innings.
Speaking of Aaron Boone, we have two pieces of Yankee news. The second one will be bigger than the first.
I have to be honest with you.
Yes. By the way, a quick aside. Thank you, SNY, for joining us. As always, Baseball Night in New York is coming up next, brought to you by Tri-State Cadillac Dealers.
And we're going to be live at Citi Field, the entire show on SNY in the Cadillac Club. So make sure you're tuning in at 2 o'clock. I have to admit, I can't wait to hear the Yankee news. Every time the glass breaks, I want you to tell me that the Nets have traded up to the number 3 overall pick. You have not done that.
This is not that.
So give us the Yankee news.
All right, so the first piece of news is Aaron Boone says there's a pretty strong case Jazz should not have been ejected from last night, but added this. Boone believes Jose Trevino contributed to the ejection, directing the umpire to look at Jazz at third base. So the former Yankee, apparently, is what led to the ejection.
What Jazz said yesterday after the game, for those that missed it, was, and he was great at explaining his side of things, even if you don't agree with him. I loved how honest he was. He said, look, I was annoyed in the at-bat.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to the home plate umpire even after I swung just to say, hey, was that a strike? And I was very annoyed, and I was talking to Cap. He calls Aaron Judge captain, King Aaron Judge captain. Mm-hmm. That was a quick save. Give me that.
Yep.
He talked to the King, and he said, I went out to third base, and I was talking to myself. I see him look up, and he basically says, you know, who you talking to or something like that.
Right.
And so he felt that the home plate umpire initiated picking at him about what was going on when Jazz said, I wasn't talking to you.
Right.
And that's what led to the ejection, if you believe Jazz's story, which I have no reason not to. I don't think Jazz Chisholm is a liar. So you're telling me Boone looked into Chaz's end of it to see, is this really what happened?
Yeah, and Jose Trevino apparently is at fault. That's
so Trevino guilt. What was the home plate umpire's name again?
Mark Wegner.
So Trevino basically said, what a troublemaker.
Yeah.
He said to Wegner.
That's gamemanship. Hey, pretty good gamemanship, by the way.
Look up at Jazz. He's whining.
That's pretty smart, actually, on his part.
Wow.
All right, so this is the second piece.
So before you get to that second piece of news, I've already listed all the names on the Sean Marash apology tour. Go ahead, Sean.
Do we want a break? You want to give the news?
No, we want to hear this news.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's very important news.
All right.
The Yankees are using the off day to flip Clark Schmidt and Will Warren. Schmidt will get an extra day of rest and start Saturday. His recovery has been a little slower between his last starts.
And the reason we're laughing and there's an apology is Sean was screaming that Clark Schmidt should have come out for the eighth inning because he was pitching a no-hitter and downplayed all of our concerns about, hey, he's coming off an injury. You got to be careful. Why push him? And Sean mocked that. And so now we're hearing Clark's recovery, and hopefully he'll be fine. But his recovery is slowed, and so he's being pushed back a day, and yet you were screaming he needed to come out for a meaningless no-hit bid.
I think this is the time everybody owes me an apology.
How are you going to twist this?
Because this is exactly my point. If an injury-prone pitcher is going to get hurt anyway, if he came out to the seventh and he's not recovering well, then at least give him his opportunity at a moment that he will have for the rest of his career.
Are you serious?
I was right. So apologize, and all you callers and tweeters, apologize to me. Thank you.
You're saying because he got hurt anyway, screw it, screw it to the win.
If 103 pitches in the seventh inning.
No, he's not hurt.
Oh, he's recovering slower. Then why did he come out for the seventh? He should have been pulled at 88 like Rodon.
Are you serious?
Yes, I am being serious.
This is where
this was exactly my point. The guy is always hurt anyway.
Exactly your point.
If your pitching point to 120, he would have been hurt anyway. So at least he would have had something in his career to hang his hat on. I was right.
You don't think it's possible that if he continued to pitch, and obviously it's recovering, so he didn't feel anything during the game, or at least he never said anything, and nothing has been reported that he felt anything during the game. It's more the next day, the soreness may not be the usual soreness he had. You're telling me if he throws 15 more pitches, it isn't possible that that soreness is actually more serious? You think it would have been the same thing?
I think there's no scientific proof. My point is he's always going to battle this, and I feel bad for Clark Schmidt. At least you know in his career he could have pitched a no-hitter, and he would have been remembered forever for that. But I digress. You guys are all right. And also, if he's so sore, I guess the Yankees World Series chances are ruined because you need him that badly, right?
Say it one more time.
The Yankees World Series chances must have just taken a hit now if he's not recovering well.
Well, no, he may be pushed back a day. This is actually very similar to what happened to Clay Holmes. Remember when Clay Holmes didn't recover well, and so the Mets actually had a restrictive pitch count on him, and this is what began, unfortunately, the losing streak because they pulled him after a low pitch count, went to Paul Blackburn, and they blew the game?
Yep.
Clay is fine, or at least we think he's fine. Because it's not like his starts have been brilliant.
It was more of a Colorado altitude thing, not necessarily a physical injury thing.
And what may have happened with Clark, it may have been a very hot, exerting a lot of energy thing. In fact, the no-hitter may be what caused this, because if you watch the seventh inning, which clearly you did, Sean, he was exerting a lot of energy to get through that inning and maintain the no-hitter. So it just proves that as much as we're desperate for a happy Saturday no-hitter, you have to be conservative, even if it bothers you in the short notice of it.
Can we do a quick impromptu Posted and Toasted? This is from June 23rd at 5:32 p.m. You are lost if you're complaining about Clark Schmidt getting pulled. Sorry, you are a sheep to baseball nerd numbers. And then he went back. That was Sean Marash, by the way, and anybody that was trying to figure that one out. And then earlier today, why do we have an invisible 100 pitches line, this, that, and the other? Well, dummy, it's because this is why. The pitcher himself is telling you that he can't recover from that. You wanted him out there throwing 145 pitches so that you could have your, you know, little cherry on the top of your ice cream cone at the pool on Saturday. Right?
Or,
you care more about the no-hitter than a World Series, admit it.
Or this is mentally wearing on Clark Schmidt, and he thinks he's not recovering well.
This is a bad one for Sean.
It's a
bad one. Could this be L-worthy?
I think we have to vote on this.
Or should we wait and see what develops here with Clark Schmidt in terms of the big picture?
Yeah, this is a potential L.
Okay.
So you're saying if this turns into more than just him being pushed back a day, you think Sean should have to wear an L?
Yes.
Okay.
We'll know by his next scheduled start.
All right.
If it doesn't happen, or he's pulled early in that start.
Yep.
Might be L.
All right. We'll put that on hold and see how Clark does. Otherwise, Sean may be taking an L. So not only did Mike Francesa tell him to never watch baseball again, but now he may have to wear an L because of the Clark Schmidt situation.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.